on Micah. Turn there to Micah chapter 6. We've been looking at this verse. What does God require out of His children? And it's something that certainly ought to pique our interest. If God shows what's good and what's right and what's true and what's honorable, then certainly our response should be, I want to do that. I want to do what the Lord requires. I want to be found walking the way that He prescribes, the way that He lays out in His Word. And if He lays it out very plainly, then there should be no mistake about it. And I believe He gives us a very plain path here. This is not something mysterious. It's not something so deep that people can't get a hold of it. This is basic biblical truth for daily living. He says there in Micah 6 and verse 8, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And it's in the form of a question, as if God is saying through the prophet Micah, hey, haven't I shown you from my person, my attributes, my goodness, my justice, my righteousness? Haven't I declared to you the way you ought to walk? The way you ought to live? Haven't I laid it out in the Word? Haven't I showed you what's good? Certainly. He sure has. Now, tonight, we're going to cover this very last phrase, and to walk humbly with thy God. Humility is something you don't hear discussed very much. It's not discussed much, and it's practiced even less by a majority of people. You can see it all around. People are filled with pride. They're filled with arrogance. In fact, I would venture to say that a great majority of people think way too highly of themselves, preachers included. It says here that we are to walk humbly with thy God. Now, to walk humbly implies a surrender to a person. It means to bow low like a little children. In fact, Jesus, when He wanted to show His disciples what true humility was, He had a child on his knee. Humility is perhaps the greatest ornament of genuine Christianity. Look over in 1 Peter chapter 5. And I would dare say, you cannot serve God with an arrogant, prideful heart. If you think too much of yourself, your ideas, your abilities, your opinions, if you think that you are it, you can't walk with God. You can't abide in Christ. Look what it says here. This is a command. 1 Peter 5:5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. It is to be our garment. It's the thing that ought to cover us. And we ought to be marked by modesty and humility with this clothing. This idea that we are bowing in submission to our great God, obeying His commands, believing that His word and His way is more important than our will and our way. And we're going to bow to Him. We're going to come under His authority, and we're going to do it cheerfully, willingly, voluntarily, thinking highly of God, and as such, realizing that in comparison, we are to walk very lowly. It says, be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Verse 6, in light of that, in light of this truth, that you are to be constantly clothed with humility. It's to be your garment. And the fact that God gives grace, unmerited favor, to those that are humble, that'll humble themselves. He reinforces it in verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Come under God's authority, under His hand, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now notice the other admonitions included here, and I believe that without humility, you're not going to do the rest of this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You know what? You cannot fight or resist Satan with an arrogant heart, with a prideful heart, with high thoughts of yourself. You've got to have high thoughts of God. You've got to be relying upon Him, depending upon Him, walking with Him, if you're going to face this adversary. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. It starts with humility as our clothing, the way in which we conduct ourselves. Now, to walk humbly with thy God means that, first of all, you've got to be in agreement with God. The implication in Scripture is if you're walking with someone, you're in communion with them. You are in agreement with them. The first case of somebody who walked with God was Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. God raptured Enoch before the waters of the flood came. But to walk humbly with thy God means that you are in agreement with Him, and that moreover, you are yoked to Jesus Christ. To abide in Him, to walk in Him, to walk with Him. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11. I'm convinced that there are boatloads of people in big churches who have no idea whatsoever what it means to be yoked to Christ, to walk with God, to have a genuine, personal, living relationship with the Lord Jesus, where you actually commune with Him, walk with Him, abide in Him, and His Word abides in you. It's not just a Sunday morning formality, but it's something that is your life. Christ, who is our life. We've got to walk humbly with thy God. And Jesus implied that when he said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you determine to walk with someone in communion, in fellowship, to walk alongside and to abide with them, over time, you're going to find yourself becoming more like them. Walk humbly with thy God will lead to godliness. God will lift you up. He gives grace to the humble. He'll lift you up out of the dregs of depravity to walk with Him, to commune with Him, to walk in the light as He is in the light. And we'll have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, will cleanse us from all sin. You can't walk ahead of Him in presumption. You can't fall behind Him and be backslidden and out of fellowship. You must walk alongside, abiding in His presence, waiting on Him to direct your heart and mind in the way you think, the way you act, the way you talk. Are you walking humbly with your God? When you speak to people, from your words, can they discern? Can they recognize that you're walking humbly with your God? That you are abiding in Christ? That He is your Lord, and that you're yoked to Him, and your desire is to please and honor Him wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever you say? This is what it means to walk humbly with thy God. It's to be always cognizant of this idea. I want to be in submission to His will, to His way. And people ought to see that when they ought to hear it when you speak. They ought to see it in how you conduct yourself. That you are indeed walking humbly with thy God. That He is your Lord. He is your authority. And you are becoming more like Him. Again, this is part of having the mind of Christ. Look over there in Philippians chapter 2. Humility consists of honoring and preferring others above yourself. That's what Jesus did. Verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." This admonition is lost in our religious world today. In our world in general, everybody wants to be looked at, to be heard, to be praised, to be honored. And very seldom do you ever hear of someone preferring others above themselves. I'm trying to get this through to my granddaughter right now, Adelaide. Adelaide, you know, she's got a complex personality. I guess all girls do. But sometimes she's real shy about things. But other times she'll say, "I'm awesome." Now, at first I thought, okay, but man, when a kid says that about 10 times, I've had about enough. And I said, "You know, Adelaide, you know you're awesome when somebody else tells you. And you don't have to tell people that you're awesome. Now, it's okay to have a good self-image. And I think you ought to instill that in your children, that they have a sense of self-worth. Because if they have that a good sense of who they are and whose they are and whose authority they're under, I think, because a lot of kids who have a bad self-image, low self-worth, I don't like to use the word self-esteem. They get on drugs. They drink. They rebel. But if you've got to always tell people and say, "I'm really awesome," then you may have a ways to go. We do that sometimes. Sometimes we do it by way of deflection. I heard a preacher last night bragging. I hope he ain't listening to this message, but it struck me wrong. This guy was bragging on how much money all of his kids made and what good shape they were in financially. And one was a doctor and another one was this. And I thought, he ain't said a word about them walking humbly with their God. Because I mean, this is something that really gets under my skin. Your kids may turn out to be billionaires. But if they don't know the Lord Jesus and they don't walk with God, they are spiritually bankrupt. Now, I wouldn't wish evil on anybody's kids. I want them to be successful. But more important than anything else is their spiritual well-being. First and foremost, that's what we ought to be about. But a lot of times we'll brag on our kids, and in reality, we're saying, "Look at what a great job I've done." You know? And the better way is for somebody to say, "Boy, I really appreciate your children. Thank God for His mercy, for His grace." That's a whole lot better way of doing it. Now, I know, I love my grandkids. But we need to walk humbly and prefer others above ourselves and not always looking to have the upper hand in everything we do. He says, verse 4, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself." We are talking about the most praiseworthy person in the entire universe. The one whose name is above every name, who is exalted because He willingly took it upon Himself to become a man and to die in the stead of those men, women, boys, and girls that the Father gave Him to redeem. He's the one that we are to aspire to be more like. You want to see somebody who perfectly fit the description of Micah 6:8? Who fits the bill? Jesus Christ. In every respect, He went about doing good. He was the just one, the holy one. He did justly. He was absolutely righteous. And He walked humbly, preferring others above Himself. He's the one we're to aspire to be more like. Look over at Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Well, that's pretty hard to do with an old selfish, depraved nature. To find yourself being kindly affectioned and to be on the lookout so that you can prefer others above yourself, so that you can show kindness and love mercy, to walk humbly with God also means that you are willing to serve without honor or recognition, to not covet the high place, to serve without being served, and to not pout and cry when you don't get your way. I think some of the most humble people that I've ever met are devoted wives whose fear has been their home and their husband and their children. They literally have to, in order to fulfill their wifely duties, they've got to prefer others above themselves, not just on Sundays when everybody's watching, but every day. How is it with you? Will you serve God whether anybody pats you on the back or not? Will you read your Bible and pray and attend church with no recognition? See, it's a hard thing in our culture, because from the time our kids are little, we want them to aspire. And it's kind of a paradox, because in Christianity, we're to aspire to be like one who is humble and merciful and compassionate and gracious. And we're to serve whether we ever get the only recognition I hope to receive is when the Lord says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And in order to have that in view, you've got to take a long view of things. You got to serve the Lord humbly, whether anybody recognizes your measure of service or not. One thing I love about our church, and I've noticed this through the years, there is a spirit of humility among our people. There's not a lot of people clamoring to be number one, to be heard, to have their... There's a spirit of humility. I appreciate that. Because it's not like that in all churches. There are churches where people literally want to rise to the top and everything be their way. When a believer is truly humble before God and His Word, he'll also be humble about his own gifts, abilities, and attainments. He will realize and gratefully acknowledge that all he is and all that he has comes from the hand of God. Isaiah 26. Verse 12. That ain't the verse I wanted. It's a good verse, though. Isaiah 26:12. Lord, Thou wilt ordain peace for us, for Thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Well, no, that does go right with it. If you've done any good, it's God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So tonight I ask you, are you doing what God requires? Do you know what's good? Do you know what it means to do justly, to live right, according to God's directives? To practice righteousness, which is simply right living after the standard of Jesus Christ and the commands of God. To love mercy. Actually desire to be merciful in the way that you conduct yourself among other people. And then to walk humbly with your God. Abiding in Him. And I want to give you a humility test tonight. And this is going to require some honest introspection. Do you have to be the center of attention? Do you have to do all the talking? You feel like you are the one that has to always be heard. Inside, do you love it when somebody praises you? Do you love to hear men praise you? And are you upset when you think you've done something really great and they don't praise you? Are you willing to do even the most menial of tasks in serving the Lord without any recognition? Are you willing to serve tirelessly in obscurity, if need be, to be faithful to your God? May the Lord help us to see what He requires. And I believe what He expects out of us as His children. And may we be more cognizant of these things. When was the last time you actually repented of your pride and arrogance, or the way that you talked to somebody you knew it wasn't kind or compassionate or merciful? May God help us to really examine all of our motives, all of our desires, and are we walking humbly with our God?
Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. I'm going to ask Doug if you'll lead in prayer.